It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome to a special edition of Sports Talk here on the Big 870. I'd like to tell you we're live here at Rouse's Markets at 4500 Chapatoulas. Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister will join us shortly. Come and shop at Rouse's during our big Labor Day sale here at Rouse's. And they have the wild-caught 16-25-count headless Louisiana shrimp, $5.99 a pound, 5-pound bag, save $5 per bag. So if you need anything, if it's drink-wise, food-wise, for the long Labor Day weekend, come on down to Rouse's. And if you're in the neighborhood, come on by. You can see, talk and get an autograph from Bobby and also Deuce. Bob, before we get into some LSU talk, we'll talk a little bit about Tulane right off the bat. Man, it looked good. And, you know, Sean used to always, I remember on the Monday night show, said, man, you know, a victory is one thing, but I want a little meat left on the bone so I can go at him. There were a few things in the game that kind of went back and forth that he can kind of get on his team about. 52-0 win over Southeastern. But, man, how impressed you got to be with Darian Mensah. I mean, redshirt freshman quarterback. And in the two shows we did with Coach Sumrall for our Tulane Tuesday, he was like he's very poised. Nothing really rattles him, and he said the most impressive thing is when things break down out on the field, he's the coolest cat. He really played well, and I remember a play early in the game, Dante Fleming, he hits him in the end zone, right through his hands, and Dante had really been the star of spring practices, also summer practices, but he dropped that one. He goes back and he makes another throw to get the touchdown. Man, I was impressed with Mensah. It was the first time I really got to see him play, other than, say, maybe some film from high school. Bob, he was really an impressive passer, and he could run with the football if you need him to.
Yeah, no, that was a dominant win over Southeastern. So when you look at the outcome and what occurred, you know, I definitely thought Tulane would beat Southeastern.
But I don't know.
Yeah, no, that was like you know, like the varsity versus the JB when you look at the final score. So, but, you know, I think we need those type games. When you look at Southeastern, you know, playing Tulane, you're going to have Nicholls State after Sunday's matchup with LSU and USC. They're going to play LSU in Tiger Stadium to help their budget. And as far as the athletic department.
And they play Tech tonight, Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, if you look at Nicholls State tonight, and that'll be interesting to see. But you have to have those type games. Now, the main thing is, can you come out healthy? I think that's the main thing when I look at Coach Rebo and everybody, when they're looking at, can we come out healthy? Like, for instance, you look at Louisiana, Nicholls State of Louisiana Tech tonight at 7 in Ruston. You know, in 2009, the last meeting, I think it'd be this kind of game, maybe, but Louisiana Tech, maybe not so much. They're not Louisiana Tech of old. They, in the series, they beat Nicholls State 4-0. They won in 2009, 48-13. And you look at Nicholls as 4 wins over FBS programs since 2000, with the last coming in 2018. That was a big win, overtime victory at Kansas and Lawrence, Kansas. So if I look at Tech, they're coming off 3 straight 3-9 seasons. When they had success, I think when they had Skip Holtz, Lou Holtz's son, who's now with the Birmingham Stallions,
won
three straight championships. And you know what's crazy about that one? I think names that we're familiar with the Birmingham Stallions in the UFL, the defensive line coach is Bill Johnson, who won a national championship with LSU and then also won a Super Bowl ring with the Saints, and guess who was the defensive coordinator? Chavis. Don't we know that name?
Chief.
Yeah, Chief.
John Chavis.
The big Chief, yeah, from Tennessee and LSU and all that. So it's amazing how you network and what goes around comes around. But Nicholls State of Louisiana Tech, tonight at 7 p.m. You look at other local games. You got Southern at McNeese State. Then you got Grambling at UL. You look at Southern at McNeese State. Now, McNeese leads that series 3-0. Now, to show you how McNeese State football has fallen, a lot like Northwestern, where I went to school in Natchitoches, how we just got to get a win somehow. But you look at McNeese, the Cowboys have lost 11 straight games and are 4-18 under third-year head coach Gary Goff. So they'll be interesting to see what's going to come about. And you look at Grambling and Southern. Southern's Terrence Graves will make his Southern coaching debut. Then you look at Grambling at UL.
Mickey.
Mickey Joseph. You look at that, the last meeting, UL won 49-17 in 2018. Now, I don't know, Mike, how they said the point spreads for this, but they got UL a 32.5-point favorite. Like, this is more a comparable game. Like, McNeese is a 3-point favorite over Southern. But you look, it's the third straight season, a lot like LSU. I think we need to do this because if you look besides LSU, then I look at Tulane, and then I kind of put maybe not right behind or right in that realm. You got Louisiana Tech and UL. And can you throw a bone to the local universities? Well, it's the third straight season. UL is open at home against an FCS team from Louisiana. You know, they played Southeastern back in 2022, and they played Northwestern State in 2023. So, Mike, like we said, this is going to mark the debut of Grambling's head coach, Mickey Joseph, and then also the debut of Southern's head coach, Terrence Graves, and what's going to occur. So that's good. I think we're keeping that within the state. Now, the one thing with Grambling caught my attention, their quarterback, Miles Crawley, was selected as the preseason SWAC Offensive Player of the Year. So, you know, you try to look who you can lean upon.
Well, they're going to lean on him.
With Coach Joseph, you definitely would lean on the quarterback, that being Miles Crawley.
Bob, I got to thank Shane Kleibert, who works for Nicholls State. He sent me this. But on the Nicholls State roster today, they have 93 players from the state of Louisiana.
I think it's the most by far. Because you look at the transfer portal and all that.
93 players from the state of Louisiana is on the Nicholls State roster. 17 starters returning. So, Shane, I appreciate you posting that and sending it out to me. But a lot of guys.
Now, and when you compare Nicholls State to Louisiana Tech, it just shows you if you're cheering for the local product, how can you not be for Nicholls State? Because it is homegrown. For instance, the Bulldogs, Louisiana Tech, they're going to take the field with 50 newcomers, including 30 transfers. So it's a completely different team.
That's a lot of heat there at Tech.
Yeah,
Oh, come on, you have two straight losing seasons. They were used to winning. Skip, his final year there, it wasn't good. And maybe there was a little friction with him and some of the people the checks. You can't pick a fight with them guys.
Now, I think they know LSU's the top banana.
Right.
And then you look at Tulane being the private school. But you look at public universities, who's going to be the number two team that could build upon?
I'd say it's UL.
UL or Louisiana Tech. But Louisiana Tech wants to be, okay, if we're not LSU, we're right behind them. The same thing with UL. Mike, and so that'll be interesting to see how the season is going to unfold for UL and Louisiana Tech, what they're going to do this season.
Yeah, no question about it. And Coach Mike, he's done a good job taking over for Billy Napier. I will say this, man, Billy.
He's on the hot seat.
He maximized the talent, though, with the Raging Cajuns. I mean, you look at all the picks they got. NFL draft picks that he recruited there, did a great job, went to Florida.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bob, you talk about the hottest of seats, and look at that schedule that they have to play late.
Well, it's very similar. You might think it's only one game, but think how monumental. Today, when you look at the Miami Hurricanes and Coach Cristobal versus Napier at Florida, Mike, whichever team doesn't win, that coach is automatically on the hot seat. You know how Dennis Allen's on the hot seat with the Saints? Well, that you have that case at University of Miami, and you also have it with University of Florida. And, you know, and the same thing tomorrow night with Coach Riley, Lincoln Riley at USC, and Coach Kelly with LSU. Mike, boy, think how the fan base, how they're going to feel about their prospective teams if you win versus if you lose. All of a sudden, now everyone's discouraged and we're not heading in the right direction. So that's just two monumental games that we're familiar with because Louisiana connections with Coach Napier at Florida playing Cristobal, Florida Gators hosting the Miami Hurricanes, and the same thing on a neutral side in Las Vegas, Coach Riley and the expectations at USC, and Coach Kelly with, obviously with the expectations of starting the season. Mike, LSU cannot afford to, I mean, I don't know. To me, now you have expanded playoffs, so you still might be able to weather the storm, but you're going to go five straight seasons and you lose the opening game? Now what? This is going back, to Mississippi State? And then who?
In 2020.
And then who we lost after that? It was, I want to say, then we lost a couple of times, obviously to Florida State. And then I got to look at my notes somewhere, but it's the bottom line is LSU cannot afford to not get it done because, you know, what defense is going to show up? And this goes about to show you how bad, you know, the defensive rebuild and where we're at. LSU was tied for 78th among FBS team in points allowed. They're giving up 28 points a game. That's why I think it's going to be a shootout type game, even though you change coaches. And you look at the Trojans, they were even worse than the LSU defense. USC's defense, pass defense, was 101st. They were ranked 116th total defense. LSU was 105. What? This is USC and LSU.
No, triple digits, you bad, but that's really bad.
And they were 118th in score, giving up 34.5 points. And like I said, LSU was 78, giving up 28. Well, they gave up 34.5. So then all of a sudden, you look, Coach Riley ended up replacing four of his five defensive assistants. What's going to happen?
Anton Lynn's a good coach. Now, yep. Again, he couldn't bring Latu with him from UCLA, which would have helped.
Yeah, he was.
Man, you saw teams. They were double, triple teaming him because he was so good.
To show you how good he was, you know, you hire your cross-town rival. It'd be like LSU hiring the Tulane defensive coordinator because he was that good. But look at Lynn, Mike from UCLA. His co-defensive coordinators along with Eric Henderson. But you look even...
And Erickson, New Orleanian.
Oh, you see that? Small world, all the Louisiana connections. Then you look at Coach Kelly, I think this is going to be a great hire. Now we got to wait and see what's going to transpire. But he lured Blake Baker from Missouri to be his new D.C. And then he brings in names that we're familiar with to rebuild the staff. He brought back longtime LSU assistant Corey Raymond, I think really helping with recruiting. That when you look at it,
but the real Bo Davis is the big catch.
Yeah,
because you kind of win
in the trenches. Yep,
and Bob, they've struggled there the last couple years. And you say you got to win up front. And the big flip is the fact I know Coach O would talk about it. Man, offensive line was probably the one area he didn't really hit on. He was close with players, but couldn't get them here. Man, you look at Brian, he's flipped it. He's got all these guys coming in, big-time recruits along the offensive line. Not so much on the defensive line, and it's been a kind of a total rebuild up front.
Well, it's very similar, USC and LSU. When you look at USC and defensive staffs, if we're going to win anything, even have a chance for the playoffs, our defense has to be relevant. I'm not saying you have to be dominant, but you have to, because Lincoln Riley, they're going to score points. That's one thing. They are going to score points. To me, when you look how things are going to unfold, Mike, I was looking at the point spread. LSU opened a 6-point favorite. Now it's 4.5. Might even be somewhere 3.5. And you look at the over and under, 64.5. I don't know. I think LSU is going to win. I don't know if they'll cover. I'm looking like for 38-34. Or a 34-31 type win.
That's a lot of play on that over.
No. I would be, Mike, with that, when you look at that over and under, that 64.5, I'd be shocked if this would be a 20s type game. I think it's
I would really be surprised.
More like a 30s type game because even though Lincoln Riley can't coach defense, whether he's been in Oklahoma or USC, they could score. No, you know,
they try to hit you with the offensive tsunami.
Yeah,
and try to bury you with it.
Yeah, and then you know what's crazy when you look at the similarities, and I talked about you know, Coach Kelly and Lincoln Riley. You look at Brian Kelly; they both entered in the 2024 season, both their third seasons. So you look at, okay, the natives get restless. Are we paying you a lot of money to win? So what's going to occur? They both had to address the defense. And, you know, I always say you never want to beat a man to replace the man. Look at both quarterbacks. Okay, and I think they're going to do fine.
But
Heisman Trophy winners, you're still replacing the man who I think both of those individuals are going to have success in the NFL. Look at Caleb Williams with the Bears, Jane Daniels with the Commanders in Washington. I think they're both going to have success. But you always look at what have you done for me lately, and then you look at the bowl performance of Nussmeier. Mike, you couldn't ask for anything more. What he did against Wisconsin, 31 of 45, right under 400 yards, three touchdowns. He led a 98-yard fourth-quarter drive to beat Wisconsin 35-31. And then you look at Miller Moss at USC. He completed 23 of 33 passes, 372 yards. So it's like mirror images, six touchdowns. And they won the Holiday Bowl of the Louisville Cardinals, Jeff Duncan, 42-28. So, Mike, it's unbelievable. And then, like I said, the last two Heisman Trophy winners, Jane Daniels, of course, 2023, but Caleb Williams, 2022, he returned last year. Mike, I don't know if I've ever witnessed this. And so now you look at the quarterback, you're the man replacing the obvious man. Is that because you look at the Heisman? You know, people want to put a little coin maybe on this, but Nussmeier was tied for ninth on the list of Heisman defenders. With Notre Dame's Riley Leonard. Mike, I don't know what you think of that. Would you compare Nussmeier to Riley Leonard at Notre Dame? Because
I think Nussmeier's a better player.
Okay, they both plus 2,000.
Yeah.
But then you look at Moss, odds were twice that, plus 4,000. So, Mike, you know, you want to just play a long shot, and because, you know, when you look at Spread the Wealth, the Heisman Trophy and all that, you have
Jaden wasn't a favorite last
right?
year early.
You got Garrett Nussmeier and Miller Moss. Both individuals, you always say this, you never want to beat a man to replace the man, whether it be like a Dan Marino or a John Elway or even Drew Brees. You know, who are you replacing? Because the expectations from the fan base. I mean, Nussmeier could play well, but he don't play defense. I mean, if you don't have the ball last, or what's going to occur? The same thing if you're a USC fan in Miller Moss. So what if he plays awesome and the defense still sucks? So that's why this game's going to be intriguing tomorrow night. What defense can turn the corner and get maybe one or two significant stops? But I still think, like I said, I think, I don't know, 38-34 type game.
I think it'll be in the 30s.
34-31. I'd be disappointed, though, if LSU doesn't come out on top, because I think LSU
overall a better team.
Has a better supporting cast.
I agree.
And LSU got a better squad than USC.
It wasn't like last year where you may be faded toward Florida State having the
right,
more
the better squad,
team.
Right? Exactly. It's not like that this game, I don't think.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.